Minnesota Timberwolves fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some Timberwolves basketball. Aaron and I were just talking before we hit record. It's crazy that there's only four games left. It's unbelievable seeing, you know, the Toronto game and now this Atlanta game coming up, knowing that that was our first and third games and we were 1-2 and people were ready to, you know, fire everybody. Trade everyone except Ant back then. People were screaming. It's been a quick season. It really has. Aaron brought out a great point of like, hey, when you only have 18 wins, that shit drags, you know. And so here we are, man. Here we are. So obviously we're going to start out per usual, you know, recapping the week that was 3-1, a little bit better than my co-host and I thought, which is good. We clinched the top three spot, which is awesome. And, you know, we'll talk about it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the great. Can't forget about that word as well. The Suns game was troubling, you know, but we had plenty of bright spots, including Ant starting to find his shot of late, which is key. And also, we saw Cat, you know, shooting on camera, and he's been in a scrimmage. You know, it's like, whoa. And Ant delivered a really funny line after that Laker win. He is definitely going to be in the movies again when his career's over. That dude is so funny on camera. Anyway, of course, we'll preview and predict the four games left: Washington, Denver, Hotlanta, and Phoenix. And then, of course, you know, we always finish with a little Gopher news. Gopher news has been funky of late, but they got their best player back. The last 2 years, he's been the best player. They got him back. That was key. I was wondering about that. So that was phenomenal news. We needed that. And, you know, 2025 Gopher football got off to a pretty good start, too, I may add. Maybe we'll bring up that. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. However, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show directly there. If you don't want to, you can find this here podcast in a variety of ways under ropeadope radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts. You can download the podcast app. For those on Spotify, check this out, Living in Loserville Spricker page. Go to it, please. And then that brings you to Spotify. Okay, so if you have Spotify, check out the Living in Loserville podcast. While you're at it, head on over to thegrillingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more message from DirecTV. Hey, the men's, last night it was the ladies. The men's college basketball tournament is on. It starts in about 5 minutes. You can still sign up right now. Save $30 for DirecTV Stream. The MLB is here as well. And DirecTV Stream carries the most local MLB games. Play ball for a limited time, $98.99 a month for the first 3 months when signing up for DirecTV Stream and get the choice package, right? There's also a first month of DirecTV Sports Pack for those who don't have it is on them, right? Sign up for, you know, say $15. The Entertainment Plus Sports Pack, that's the basic one, $84.98 for 3 months. Good deal. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. No annual contracts. No hidden fees. DirecTV Stream. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. See how he's doing on this fine April afternoon. It was cloudy here. There, I couldn't see the eclipse. I probably would have hurt my eyes anyway. Just kidding. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm well, man. I make a point to never stare at the sun. That's not only this Minnesota sports thing and a cliche, but, you know, just in real life. I think I did when I was a kid once. I don't remember. But, yeah, I was always taught not to do it. Nonetheless, staring at the sun, by the way, speaking of Suns, I'm trying to get that game out of my system. I don't know what happened there. I know we're going to get to it, but it was a 10-point loss in the end, but it felt like a little bit more. It was just not something you wanted to see, but, you know, they did bounce back, which was good to see. And the week, like you said, turned out better than we thought it was going to turn out. Like, I thought 2-2 would be, you know, sneak out of there. win the games you should, and, you know, anything competitive. But, you know, we've been kind of looking for a letdown here with Cat out, and knock on wood, because I know there's four games to go, and the last thing I want to do is bring in a letdown. But it hasn't happened yet. This is very impressive, and like you said about the season kind of flying by, just, you know, it's been hard to not think negatively sometimes this season because of past Wolves seasons and past Wolves decades.
Yeah.
It's been really refreshing to, like, hey, you know, even when they've had a bad loss or some, even like a bad loss to a bad team, you're like, oh God, is this the beginning of the middle of the end? Or is this, you know, and if they just bounce back and win another game, or if they lose like a tough one to Denver, a couple Denver games back, and you're like, well, maybe this is when it's going to happen. Our cat goes down. You always think, you know, the other shoe's going to drop, and refreshingly, that hasn't happened. And you and I off air are going over these different playoff scenarios. And it's like, man, I mean, even the Garnett days, we never sniffed the number one seed. There were some really good teams. That was the reason. I mean, you had the Lakers and Spurs.
Well, we did 03, 04. We got the number one seed.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I take it back, but I just don't.
But that was just one. You know?
Right. I just don't remember. I always thought we were fighting for, you know, four because the Spurs were good and everybody was good. And it was a tough Western Conference at that point as well. And even since then, it's kind of been for the last 20 years a tough Western Conference. Nonetheless, you know, it's been a refreshing season, and it's not over. I know I don't want to, you know, wrap the season at this point, but it's like, you know, to be at 54 wins at this point, Chris, it's, you know, from where we thought this season would start, we were optimistic, you know, going into the season because of Ant, you know, and we thought, well, there'd be some progress. And, you know, the way Rudy played last year didn't really lead us to think, okay, well, he's going to return to Defensive Player of the Year form, also be an offensive piece that we didn't really see happening. And, you know, we thought that when the trade happened, but that was just us projecting. And then, you know, obviously we've learned that he was a little nicked up last year, but it's just refreshing to see, hey, man, these guys have been competitive all season. For the most part, defensive intensity has stayed for their whole season, and they got a record to show it now, Chris. And, you know, we're coming on the last four games here, and it's just been a really nice thing to watch this year. And it's obviously the season's gone by a little bit faster than usual.
Yeah, for real. And that year, right, that 03-04, they had to win like their last seven or eight games or nine or something like that. And I remember one specifically, it was the Spurs, right? And they won in like a 90-88 game or something on the road in the Spurs. And I was like, okay, here we go. But you know, it's funny. I think we made it eight straight years to the playoffs, kept getting booted. And I think the year you were thinking about that four seed, we did get the four seed, right? So we finally got home court, but that was the year Shaq got hurt. So we fucking played the Lakers as the fifth seed. We're like, oh, really, dude? He got hurt and then came back. You know, it was like, oh. So we finally get home court in the first round, and we got to play the damn Lakers, dude. What in the shit, you know? They went on to win the championship, and I think we won one game against them, and they were like 17-2, you know, in the playoffs or some shit like that. But, yeah, man, it's – you're right. We haven't. I mean, last year, obviously, you know, the injury played a big part. Getting to try to know one another on the court, making the trade for Conley. And then at the time, Alexander Walker seemed like a throw-in. No longer a throw-in, obviously. Key guy off the bench and he can start as well. And, yeah, you know, coming in this year, we didn't – you're right. It's like we definitely thought, hey, you know, we're going to be good. We're going to be out of the play-in. But – we just didn't see the whole thing. And then even when Cat came back, it's like, okay, here we go, here we go. Oh, Nas broke his wrist. Oh, McDaniels punched the wall. You know, Rudy's back got messed up again. He never really was, like you said, 100%.
Yeah, Kyle's pushing Rudy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
all kinds of stuff going on.
Ended so horribly, you know. And now those two guys are buddies, you know. That's how it is in sports sometimes and with dudes, right? So
you did mention, though, Chris, I thought a really good point about Alexander Walker. We thought, you know, he's a throw-in. We didn't know much. And now he's like, you know, six-man possible starter. And Mike Conley, I mean, we saw a little bit last season what he could do and bring to the team. But to be able to project, you know, the way he's ran the squad all season, is just, that's, you know, far better than I would have anticipated. But so I think you spotlighted like two of the guys that I really think made a huge difference. I'm not saying that's the reason we're in the 54 win range, but it sure is got to be part of the reason.
Yes. And then having that, and some people doubted it last year, but having that full training camp, because that's really the only time you get to practice almost every day and work some shit out. Because the year before, Rudy came in off of that summer basketball, and they were telling us then, Aaron, that, well, you know, it's intense. It's more intense over there to them. So we're going to give Rudy a couple weeks off and just let him do some stuff. But meanwhile, it was his back. And then remember, freaking Cat got that infection and lost like 20-some pounds. And so they didn't even get to practice together. We had to start the season. All right, go ahead, go get him, you know. So it was just a funky start this year. They had worked some stuff out, you know, and it's all about fit, right? I mean, Conley, you're right. It just fit better. For us last year, D'Angelo played really good. Just the fit wasn't there. He's playing really good for the Lakers. Shit, he had, you know, till the conference final last year, where his play kind of dipped, and, well, they're playing Denver. So a lot of guys dipped besides LeBron and AD on that team, but it just fit way better. And, man, once you see Alexander Walker, though, even down the stretch of last year and how quick he moves his feet and how hustle he is, and it was like, okay, we got something here. But I wouldn't have thought he would be a guy that could produce, you know, 10-plus points off the bench, especially when you need it in the clutch fourth quarters, man. He has been phenomenal. It's been a great year. And someone broke it down like two games ago. 64% of the year, the Wolves were in first place. So, I mean, that is just that alone. It is hard to complain about shit because you got to – and I've been enjoying a lot of the season off that and trying to separate playoffs and regular season and just be like, hey, man, these are all stages. Let's see how we do. Let's see the matchup. And, you know, this week was kind of funky because there was a lot of bright spots, but there was also like, you know, gosh, what the hell, you know? And the Houston game – you know, Houston of late, maybe not the last 25, 30 games have all been that great, but they were on a nice little run there. We got off to a pretty mediocre start, man. And actually, the first quarter was the season low, 16 points. We also had the second most points in a quarter in the next game, you know. And so that's what I mean by it's been really funky like that. But, you know, we've been talking about, even like I'm looking at my notes, third quarter, and at the time is 1 of 8, but he is getting to the free throw line. He's 7 of 7. And that's something that he's shown as a playmaker. This last game was one of his better playmaking games down the stretch. He's shown that sometimes it's the whole game where he just comes in with that mindset. Sometimes someone could kind of be like, hey, this is what we need you to do, dude. And then he can make that adjustment mid-game, and that's what he did last night. But, that game looked like it was funky, man, because we had a nice lead on him and on Houston, and it was like, all right, dude, you know, we're up. It was early fourth quarter, 89-75. We're up a lot, and they come storming back. And, I mean, Nas, Slow-Mo, Conley, they were going off. And even with, like, midway through, it was 96-81. And then, like, here comes Houston. And they got it all the way down to 101-100, under 2 minutes to play. Conley hit a floater in the lane. Ant got a steal and a dunk. Got another dunk. There was a missed coverage where they didn't pick him all the way up. Went right to the rack. Dunked. It kind of reminded me of that Clipper game, the play-in game, in that big-ass dunk down the lane where two guys both went back and one of them meant to stay up, and it was like, yeah, you're done now. And then I think Conley and Ant both kind of closed it out on a free throw. So we got enough cushion there, And then, you know, there's not a whole lot to look at as far as that Toronto game, because they were in super tank mode, even more than I thought once I saw the lineup and, you know, looked at their recent lineups. I was like, oh, God, we better win this game. They started out kind of funky early, and that's something we'll talk about, too. We got to get off to a better start, especially with the playoffs coming around. But then the positive is no matter who we're playing, you still got to fucking play. And they did. They trounced them. They did exactly. You're not going to have to do it or want, you know, expect that to happen every time. But they just destroyed that team. The ball was moving. Shots were knocking down. That's, I think, the game where Ant kind of got a little loose on some of that. Same with Nas as well. But I mean, everything went right in that game. That was nice because it was like, all right, dude, we handled our business. It's 2-0, and I remember us talking, all right, 2-0, what are we going to do in the next two games? Which brings us to Phoenix, Aaron.
Yeah, which is, again, Chris, another topic we'll get to later is the way they started that game. And I don't know if it's, you know, Ants maybe trying to pass it off a little too much, Chris. I'm not sure what the start is about. I know, you know, maybe it's read and react. Something's going on there, and they're figuring out how a team's going to play them. They're just not as quick to pick it up. It could just be, you know, coming out flat. It's a lot of different stuff. But the times it didn't cost you mentioned Houston. You were able to win that game. The Raptors, I don't recognize any of their players. I watched that, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. Well, some of them I didn't even know where they went to college. And
I don't know how many are going to be in the roster next year.
It's just odd to me. So, obviously, yeah, you got to win that one. But then you get to where it does cost you against the Suns, where you come out a little flat and the Suns jump on you, and you just can't get back in it. You come close. You fight hard. But if you come out with that kind of start, it's just, you know, against another playoff team with some good players with Booker and the tall guy Durant, you know, you're going to have some issues with them and their style of play anyway, and that's a possible playoff match, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But, yeah, I just didn't really know what to think of it. And I'm going to chalk it up to, like you said, coming out, you know, and, you know, they kind of lapped you out, and it's hard to come back from that, especially for a quality team. But I did notice the score, both under 100, both in the 80s, or one's in the 90s, I think it was 87-97 or 77-87, something like that. I remember the exact score. Let me look real quick. But, yeah, it was a little concerning because they defended you obviously pretty well. You didn't shoot great, but I thought, you know, I didn't think you could run away on the Suns, but I think if you would have got a better start, maybe set a better tone, the outcome would have been a little different.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So if you look at the last four games before that Laker game, which they were good offensively, but their defense was garbage early in that game, which is very rare, right? 22 points against the Bulls, 16 against the Rockets. Even that Raptors game, dude, 23 and then 20. And then averaging 4.5 turnovers a game. And, you know, if you're going to play against a quality team, you don't want to start that way. That's for damn sure. And because you're not going to be able to come back, you know. And that's exactly what happened. It was 13-0. It was 17-2. Ant and Slow-Mo are complaining to the refs like it's the fourth quarter and it's been the whole game. There was like Nas and Conley like tried to pass to Rudy and, you know, it just was like, what are we doing, guys? It was either a high pass or Rudy messed it up. I mean, Rudy messed the alley-oop up that just missed the dunk. Nas was, like, forcing these high-off-the-glass layups, which he can do. But these were like, whoa, dude, what's that all about, you know? So it's 17-2 at the 7-minute mark of the first, 21-10, sloppy play, a bunch of turnovers. And then, you know, Ant on defense these last the first 6 minutes of these last two games has been a little funky. Probably almost everyone except the stalwarts, right? McDaniel in the starting lineup anyway, Rudy and McDaniels. But it was just kind of like they weren't ready to fucking play. And it was like, dude, what are we doing? But Ant started to get aggressive. And he started going to the rack. I think we had 7 turnovers in that first freaking game, or in that first quarter. Got it to 30-20, or 32-20. He was like, all right. Because we were, that's the thing, dude. We weren't, in some of these games, even like the Lakers game in the first quarter, we weren't shooting bad. We were shooting a very high percentage. This one, not so much. But yeah, it was 39-28 minute mark. And, you know, we started to cut into it, made a nice little run. It was 46-31 under 5 minutes. Morris played really well in a spot off the bench, but we're up. It's not even half. We have four, or it's halftime. We have 14 turnovers. And the thing that was kind of pissing me off a little bit is because they weren't playing lights out, Phoenix. They had a ton of turnovers that game too. And that's where I was just like, what's going on? So we were like 3 of 11 at the rim at one point. And like I said, when Rudy missed that easy dunk, it was like, okay, dude. And Nurkic had 5 fouls like early in the third. I thought, okay, here we go. They turned the ball over 6 times somewhere in the third quarter. It wasn't even at the end. I'm like, okay, here we go. But we were, you know, we just turned the damn ball over too much. And I did see people say, well, it was, you're right, it was 97-87. So, like, we got back in the game. But that's not how it played out. 94-72 was the score when we put up the white flag. So we were down 22, called timeout, put in our reserves, put in Garza, Mina, Warren, Miller, and they went off to cut it, you know, cut some of the lead. Otherwise, that's one of those, you know, totally misleading. Well, we got it back. No, we really didn't. You know, it was just ugly from the start. And, you know, the first time, Aaron, we played them, we were on a back-to-back, and I think we were like, you know, 4 games, 6 nights, or 3. There was a rest thing where you're like, they just didn't show up. It is what it is. They played great. Well, this time, they did play pretty damn good, but when you have that many turnovers, I'm talking about the Suns, it felt like we could have gotten back that in that game, but it just wasn't there. And, yeah, it is a funky matchup because both times, they haven't played healthy a lot this season, the Suns. And both times, of course, you know, Minnesota sports, baby. We've shown them, we've gone against them twice, all healthy, and they beat us up pretty good, man.
Yeah, you know, I just want to get into it before. We'll get to the Laker bounce back here in a second. But, you know, the slow starts, Chris, I started to think it's kind of a little bit of like hot potato. You can tell me your thoughts on this, but it's like they come out and they're looking for a hot hand right away because we're doing the offense and we're moving the ball. And it's like nobody – I'm not saying people don't want to shoot, but it's like there's nobody that you just go to start out the game, it seems to me. And I could be, you know, wrong, but it just feels like there's a lot of deference, you know, like, okay, pass to him and he'd shoot. And it's like there's no real dog in the beginning of the game. There is at the end, you know, especially now, Edwards and – we'll get some stuff. Conley will get some stuff at the end, but who's the dog in the first quarter? You know, who do you go to get things kicked off? And I think that might be an issue. You can give me your thoughts on that. I know we do motion offense. I know we're, you know, you're supposed to take the open shot. I get it. But, at some point, someone's got to kind of step forward, especially in a game like against the Suns where you're down 17-2. I mean, you need buckets at some point. You got to go to it. And it just seems like sometimes in the beginning of the game, maybe Ant's not up for it at that point in time. Or, you know, I don't know your thoughts. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, reaching for stuff here because I don't really know what to put my finger on how they start games. But that needs to be addressed, especially going into the playoffs. And it's, I would say on a level of concern, it's like a 2, but, when you play teams like the Suns, which you will face teams like the Suns here and after the next 4 games, you know, you have to be able to at least come out and stay within 10, you know, if you can keep it close. Even if the other team gets off to a good start or you get off to a bad start, you're just not necessarily shooting well. You have to be able to stay in it. 17-2 run to start a game in the playoffs is not a recipe for success. So I want to know, you know, maybe your thoughts of what you think, or maybe even you reach a little, try to tell me what you think it is. Turnovers, sloppy play. Sometimes bad shooting, but just to me seems like overall flat and a little indecisiveness which is leading to the slow starts.
Well, I think it does take us a little while to get the ball moving early. I think it is a little sticky. I think it is a little ISO. I think it is a little step back, three, dribble, dribble. But it's not like an abundance of that. It may be just focus, intensity. You know, Ann is still only 22, and he just admitted the other day that, you know, like there are some times where, you know, I start games and it's just, you know, like someone's got to smack me in the face almost, you know what I mean? And be like, hey, dude, you got to fucking go. It doesn't matter who we're playing. You got to be ready to go. And it definitely wouldn't be putting it all on Ann. He just had a great quote the other day of him saying that, you know, Vinci's, oh, here we go. Usually these games I come out, he's talking about the Toronto game. Said, usually these games I come out and don't have no energy. I look like I don't want to be there. Finchie's been getting on my ass lately. So I tried to come out with the approach that I would take, you know, I would take it as if we're playing a good team that, you know, like a really, really good team. So I think the ball's actually maybe a little stickier early. Like I said, some of those, it seemed like most, like almost all the starters were doing stuff that you're like, ugh, you're not on a heater yet. Don't try that yet. So, and then it's like they kind of break out of it, and they do get, you know, and that's the thing about, you know, Ant at times will get sticky. When Cat was in, the ball would get sticky. A lot of times when you're guys that can go and average 24, 25, 30, whatever, and they can go 30, 40, 50, you know, any given night. You do sometimes, you know, go one-on-one and go, like, I got this. Let me take over. And sometimes it works. There's times where Cat and Amp will take a shot where I'm like, dude, okay, it went in. Okay, you got me. But so the ball's been less sticky because we only have one player that does that in the starting lineup now, whereas we used to have two. Both Cat and Amp, though, are very, very capable of not doing that. And I remember 2 years ago, during that time where our fucking team got just ravaged by COVID, remember that? There was like most of the roster was, and they were playing a lot of the bench, and the bench was moving the shit out of the ball. And all the starters are there like, huh, wow. So that's how you do that, huh? And all of a sudden we had like the best offense from like January 2nd and on or some shit like that. So I don't know. I think it is focus. I think it is, hey, dude, be ready to play. I think it's a combination of all that stuff because that's kind of how the first part of the Lakers went, game went, and then they got over it, you know. So I don't know what it is. And also, just to add on to that, lately at home, like, let's play better at home, and some of it is getting that great start. Finch brought that up just a few days ago. The last 12 games at home, we're 7-5. He says it takes us too long to find our defensive edge at home. Gonna need it tonight against Houston. That was going right into Houston. So we're 9-5, but still 9-5 is actually not that great considering one Houston was solid, but you know, the Toronto game, not that it doesn't count. We'll take all the fucking wins we can get, but it's nothing you can look at and be like, yup, we're ready to go. Get the fucking parade ready, map it out, because we're going to win the thing. So, I don't know. You know, it's a long season. I will say this. You know, Nas has stepped into that role that offensively we knew he was capable of. So, he's done his. He's pulled his weight. A lot of people have stepped up, whether it's in the starting lineup or reserves. We've played a lot more guards now off the bench, and that really helps the ball movement. But I do think some of it is Ant just starting to be like, damn, I need another guy. And maybe that's where Cat does come in because he can go for 15 in the first quarter just like Ant. And so maybe we're just missing that extra, okay, it's Cat's quarter, you know. I don't know. It's tough to say, man. I think it's a combination of stuff, though. Kind of long-winded there.
No, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I was just thinking, you know, I want to try to put my finger on it, and I think what you said with Finch's quotes, that's pretty telling, I think. Obviously, he knows about it, and also Ant's quotes, too. And I would, if I was Finch, I'd be getting on his case, too. I didn't want to point the finger at him specifically, but because he does so much through, you know, all the other quarters, you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe right. he just needs to find a rhythm, quote unquote. But if he knows he's got to spark it up, then he's got to do it. And, you know, I'm a little concerned too about what you said about the home record there too. After Finch's quote, because you shouldn't really need a lot to get jazzed up at home, but maybe it's the opposite. Right. Maybe you just woke up from a nap and now you're,
that's what it seems like.
You're going to work.
And they're,
you know,
more awake and ready to go, less distraction on the road or something.
Yeah, that's probably it. But like I said, it's not a huge concern to me. It's something I think they can fix, but it is something that you go, okay, if we got to find something to nitpick right now, you know, going into playoffs, that would be...
And this first round's not going to be a joke, you know?
No, this West, we were talking off air, this West is crowded, man, and it's tight, and you got... four teams with the same record, you know, two at 54, two at 45. So you don't really even know four games left of who you're going to see round one. You know, you're not in the play-in, which is, you know, refreshing. But that play-in is nasty. I mean,
dude, those ratings are going to be through the roof.
And so, you know, we're going to be watching that just to see how that ends up. And you can't afford it. I think, you know, it's not something you got to tell them playoff wise that you got to come out, but maybe they're going to learn some tough playoff lessons this year. Let's hope that it's one game to learn the lesson and not a series, but you know, no more coming out like that. I mean, you just can't do it. And particularly at home, it just doesn't make any sense, Chris. And you know, they did come out a little slow against the Lakers again. And usually they really come out strong against the Lakers and Golden State. Those are two they usually jump on pretty quickly. And, you know, kind of a lackluster first quarter against the Lakers as well.
Well, you know, no LeBron. Oh, no LeBron. Oh, LeBron's not playing? Oh, we're good. We got it, Doc. We got it. No problem. Yeah, you're right. We usually always get up for the Lakers. And especially in recent years, we've played them really well. This time, though, randomly, it was defense. It was very like, what the fuck's going on? Like, that's an easy bucket, dude. You know, like, they shot, I think, 4 of 6 from three, so they were hot early. But we caught right back up when it came to points and all that. But, yeah, we came out lackluster. Then there was a point where we got in the game fully. Nas hit a three and then hit him with a Euro step. And it was like, all right, dude, you know, we're fine. We're right in this game. We're shooting the ball really well, 16% in the first quarter. It appeared Ant got two fouls early, but then they called one of them off, so that was cool. But, you know, off ball, the one thing I'll say about Ant defensively, one-on-one, especially in the fourth quarter when he hasn't had to do it and McDaniels and all those guys do it, and then it's like, all right, I'm going to lock him up. We've seen that time and time again, especially this year, but just in general. And against key guys in this league. And that Jackson, tall-ass dude from Memphis, don't have a matchup for him. Just don't right now. And Ant, we forced him to shoot threes because he couldn't get by him. And so he's very valuable as a one-on-one. I mean, this guy. And I'll say this year is off ball. And what I mean is, you know, looking for the steal. His steal numbers are down, but I like it because it doesn't matter, dude, because he would hunt him. He would chase him, and he would leave back doors. He would leave his guy. He wouldn't even pay attention to his guy. And there was some of that early in this game where he gave up about 6 or 8 points that were all basically layups, just looking for a steal. And that's something we haven't seen in one quarter as much. I'll say that in that game. Then he tightened up, and as a whole, we tightened up. But I'd say this isn't a rip on Ant episode, right? It sounds like it has been so far, but it's not. Because this year, like I said, his off ball has taken a jump. It really has. He's into everything now. He's playing the defense. He's looking at his guy. He's on his guy. He's switching. He's doing a lot of heads up play, especially for his age. It's nowhere near as bad as it was his first 3 years. Nowhere near. And I've heard people, I've been on Twitter spaces and people are like, well, look at his steals. I'm like, yeah, okay. But did you haven't been watching the Timberwolves these last few years, dude. He's better on off ball now, but he sure didn't start that way. Real funky. We gave up 37 points, and I was like, what the fuck are we doing here, you know? Now, Nas started going off. He had like 15 early second quarter, 5 of 7. I think he was 6 of 8 from 3. Got the lead, and it wasn't just all that, you know, where we played better defensively, no doubt, and our offense started flowing, but once Anthony Davis, so there was no LeBron already, once Anthony Davis left the game, it was like, wait, what's wrong with his eye? And I saw him go to the locker room, and I'm thinking, huh, I wonder if it's just something little. He only played 12 minutes. And so I'm like, huh, all right, we'll see if he comes up for the third. And he didn't come up for the third. It was like, okay, dude, we got to win this fucking game. So after that, I mean, Nas was going silly. McDaniels had an N1. And the one thing, Ant, last night, he was getting into that, you know, James Harden mode. And like I said, both Cat and Ant have these times where they get a little too ISO, too little one-on-one. Like, hey, Ant, you're not Harden or LeBron. And Cat, you're not Jokic or Embiid. You're damn good players. You're just not those. That's not your style. We don't need you dribbling into two or three people over and over again. But both of them are capable of passing. Both of them are capable of moving it, you know, quicker. And that's what happened. And Ant, I don't know exactly when, but Ant really started like maybe mid-third quarter, something like that. Somewhere in the third. I mean, he started finding people. And, you know, I think he had like 8 assists, if I remember correctly. But he could have had 12 or 13 in that game if some folks knocked him down a couple times more. He was finding people, drive and find. Drive and find. I mean, he really turned it around. He had 8 assists and only 1 turnover. And it was like, oh, wow, dude, this is impressive. He was putting a show on. And then in the fourth quarter kind of started putting a clinic on too.
Yeah, I think you're right about Conley. And, you know, it's a great point about Ant and Cat, for that matter. Sometimes they get feeling themselves a little bit, and it gets a little bit the ball gets sticky with them, and they want to start going ISO and stuff, which bothers me a little. Like, I think they're best out of the offense, you know, like getting their shot organically, I guess if you could say that, through ball movement and so on. I don't really mind so much with Ant. If Ant feels like he's got a hot hand, I give him a little bit more license than Cat. Although, you know, I think Cat, his 3-point shot, I'll let him take just about anyone he wants to take. But, that kind of goes back to what you said about the sticky ball. And like, I don't want to see Ant become a player that, you know, kind of hero balls it like Harden. Although there'll be moments when he'll probably have to. I just think that, you know, if you can get it from the offense and get it from ball movement, it's much better. And also you can do so much more in that capacity where you can, like you said, get the ball out to assists, be a playmaker, not just a scorer. And I think we're best when that's what he's doing, you know, case in point against the Lakers in those quarters. He's like, okay, you get a few shots so they come out and respect you and then start moving the ball and getting guys open shots and watch the offense really blossom at that point. And I think that's basically what beat the Lakers. Also AD and no LeBron helps a lot too, but, and defensively, and I think you're right about Anthony also defensively off ball stuff. I think just maybe being more comfortable in the defense as well, but you know, it's one of those things where you're still in the learning process. Again, we keep pointing out that, you know, we're not NBA champs yet. I don't think we're expecting a championship this season. Would we turn one down? Absolutely not. But, you know, it's a building process. Even Denver had to go through 2-3 years of just, you know, there's only one champion at the end. So you're probably going to lose your last series. let that be. Let's hope that's not due to slow starts and to sticky ball and the hero ball. You know, that will be an issue going into the off season. If that's the case, you just want to see progression here. And, you know, I think for the most part, we've seen a lot of growth on many different levels. Naz Reid.
Yes.
Alexander Walker, Mike Conley, Jordan McLaughlin. Even the offensive emergence, Jaden McDaniels. We've seen a lot of things happen. You know, Cat down.
J-Mac has been crazy.
Cat kind of taking a different role and thriving in that. It's been a lot of stuff that's been really positive. It's like, okay, well, there's a few bugaboos we got to deal with. And, you know, I really think we've nailed the two, but I want to see – you know, some go-to. We kind of harped on this earlier in the year where we wanted some go-to plays for situations like down 17-2, where you can get a for sure bucket or a few of them, or a catalog of plays that you can go to where you know you're most likely going to score, get you layups, alley-oops, pick and rolls, things down to Rudy, choice things like that, and not be so stuck in the ball movement. But when it comes to Ant and Cat and scorers, even Nas, you know, Nas is very good at getting a shot in the offense. Also, yes. You know, making good decisions with the ball.
And he's had to do it for his whole career, right? Because he's right. Never been the number one or number two scorer. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he just naturally does it. Definitely.
And obviously, Chris, like Nas has been, I won't say a revelation because we've always known the guy can score. We always know he can play. We always knew he could run the floor. He's been a surprising player, but with Cat down this season, really puts an exclamation point on Nas's improvement throughout his career and his ability to come in situations and be a big or a quick three. You know, the guy's pretty versatile and a good scorer, and not a bad defender. He's not a great defender, Chris, but he's not a bad defender.
That, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, he's redone his body. He's quick off the dribble. Most definitely. And some of that is figuring everything out, too. That's a perfect example because, you know, shit, I mean, more than likely it's going to be about 16 or 17 games or something like that. Because we don't know. We'll get into Cat here soon as far as him coming back. But, you know, last year we didn't have him for 53 games. But this wasn't – when we were just trying to play Nas at the four. You know, this year we actually played him at the three for a few minutes and played three bigs, you know what I mean? But also last year, Kyle playing that pile four position was shooting so well from three that they actually had to guard him out there, so that's why he was starting. Now maybe it would have loosened, you know, maybe his game would have been, you know, better that way. As a starter, it's tough to say. Kyle was playing so great then. So, and that goes with the whole fit. Because, yeah, he was, I mean, he's going to, you know, he's not going to miss, he played, what, 60 games this year, Cat. He missed 53 last year. And Nas played great off the bench, but it wasn't, you know, it was still like, well, are we sure he's a four? Are we sure he's a three? We're still trying to figure out everything. And Conley, like you said, did help in a variety of ways and really give hints to this is how you have to play with Rudy. And once he said it took me a full season. You know, I'm like, well, shit, Conley knows what the fuck he's doing. If it takes him a year, okay, wow, maybe we need to calm down a little bit because you got to know when, where, and how with Rudy. And which was interesting that I love that we have so many different ways. We're a great three-point shooting team, and when we spread the ball, we got shooters left and right. But we can also go bully ball. And once AD left that game, that's what it was. It was bully ball, too, because Rudy went off 16 points, 15 boards. Nas had his second-best game of the year. And his other huge, huge game was that game I was really pissed off that we lost to Cleveland because we ruined his 30, I think it was 35 points or 36 points. He was shooting the lights out. Conley put on a clinic there in the fourth. And, you know, things, once those twos left, it was kind of weird. Meaning, you know, well, AD left. Braun never played. But it was kind of weird because all of a sudden Hayes was killing us. And they're making, you know, these transition, we gave them three straight transition dunks. It was like, what the fuck's going on? And before you know it, it's 94-90, and you're like, okay, dude, are we really going to let our guard down? And they closed the third great, and then, yeah, just played phenomenal the rest of the way, so that did help. Sure, you know, to switch to bully mode is pretty versatile, and a lot of, like, Dane Moore and a couple other folks have been talking about, you know, same with us, that having these multiple guard lineups are so key. You know, to have Conley, to have Morris, to have J-Mac playing the way he is. I mean, in recent weeks, they are running out to him at that three-point line now. Or they're just, they're trying to figure stuff out and he's wide open. We got him on the move. And that's what it is. Pass, pass, pass. Make the defense move. Then we can exploit it. And it's been fun to watch that way. And then, you know, Slomo's game's gotten a lot better. We're playing him a little bit more at the four instead of the three. Like, it's been a team effort. It really has. And this is, you know, Nas has put up, I think, as a last 10 games, he started for 12 games now. He's averaging close to 19 points a game, shooting the lights out, I think almost 44% from three. Very efficient, 48% from the field. So he's done his part. Anthony has done his part as far as points, but a lot of it's getting to the free throw line and all that. His shot has been off. Two out of these last three games, I'm hoping it'll get him out of that funk just in time for the playoffs. But, you know, it's been a variety. And we barely talked about Alexander Walker, except at the first part of the show. Like, it's been like three or four players every game where you're like, okay, these three, okay, those two. Oh, that lineup is awesome. Those 4 minutes, they probably won the game for us, you know? So it's been just a team effort. And in making that trade for Morris, he may not put up all these stats or whatever that pop off. Oh, dude, he got 19. He hit a bunch of threes. He can hit threes, though. He can make a hockey pass. He can have a game where he has assists. Like, the other night, Anderson and J-Mac had 16 assists combined. Like, it's been great, man. And we were wondering how our depth going into the trade deadline. We knew we needed to make a move. We also needed to know, or we needed, you know, certain players to step up. And we went and got Morris because of J-Mac struggling. And to have Morris plugged in, but also J-Mac rising, it's been phenomenal, man. So it's been we've really showed our depth this year.
Yeah, and then you got to bring in Alexander Walker, too, into the guard mix, too. I mean, it is pretty interesting, the guard mix that we have. It's a little different flavor of everything. And, you know, our boy that's just new, what's his name, Morris, like, he's not getting big minutes, getting, what, 10 to 15 minutes a game and putting up good numbers, making big shots, making big defensive plays. He's done a lot. I've seen him timely stuff like a vet you would want to see from a vet. So, yeah, it's been pretty interesting to watch the guard play. And in Cat's absence, I think the ball's moving a little bit better, which you can say, obviously, that's something that will happen. If you take a four out of there, you're going to have to move the ball. And we're not playing small ball. We got Rudy, but the ball moves a little bit more, doesn't get stuck with Cat. But Cat's also pretty good at facilitating. And so it'll be nice to have him back, you know, hopefully the adjustment, but won't be too much. But then you said, like, last year we did 52 games or something without Cat. So I think we're pretty used to playing without him. And, you know, we lost a couple guys by the wayside, Troy Brown and the other kid, they just couldn't really find minutes. And now, like you said, we got Morris and J-Mac coming off, supplying minutes off the bench. And I think, you know, J-Mac's been the surprise, because you're right around the trade deadline. We were like, okay, so we need to find back a point guard. J-Mac's too streaky, you know, defensively liability, and, you know, no one's coming out to guard him and all the different things. And he's kind of sprung back from that, which is pretty cool. And yeah, so, I mean, it makes us a top three seed. We clinch that, Chris. It's pretty amazing. Obviously, this is all regular season stuff. Regular season's not done. We're not trying to, you know, put a crown on them, but yeah, it is something that, you know, you have to highlight, because, you know, we've had years where we've had decent seasons and there just wasn't this or there wasn't that. Or, you know, you had a player like Russell who could light you up, get you 30, but had defensive liabilities and, you know, really started to highlight this time of year, like where your faults are. And I really thought we'd have more glaring faults at this time of the season, although what those were, I don't know. But to have Cat down in this situation, have four games to go in the season, have 54 wins, clinch a top three spot. I mean, if you go on the Wolves pages now, and it's there are people complaining, but you just kind of have to go, wow, this is really something compared to, like, you watch Twitter last year. It's just the people losing their minds over these minuscule things, and they're still there, but they're a lot quieter.
Yeah, and another thing about Ant trying to figure out when to play make and when to score and all that, you know, that's the one thing that Cat does bring. Not just I can put 50 up in a quarter, but attention, you know. To not have another guy that will bring that full attention. The only time they did that with Nas is when we had, well, he went for like, it was that Laker game. He went for like 21 in the first half, just going nuts. And they're like, okay, hold on now. Let's slow this down a little bit. But we also didn't have Rudy in that game or Slo-Mo. So we had, you know, with Cat out, we had three out of our four bigs out. So they bully balled us, you know, and they made sure to front Nas, and they basically did a mini version of what they do to Cat a lot. And so I think some of it is, you know, sometimes he does get a little, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but instead of just making the easy read, but, you know, there is that much more attention drawn to him with, you know, and not having someone that, okay, dude, that they're going to put two guys on him because they have to, he's going off. So I just think that's part of it. There's a really interesting point, and this is what I love about this kid. He's just so honest. You know, if he messes up, he'll say it. He's funny as shit. And you know, from the sounds of it, he's works on his game every single solitary day. But commonly, he was talking about a variety of people just last night's game. And he was talking about Conley, Slo-Mo, and Finchie. In a short amount of time, he said, he comes to me and tells me, man, it's a lot easier if you just made the easy read. You know, throughout the whole game, it's going to lighten up. They're going to start to go away from you. They're going to have to chase that guy and chase that guy. And like Slo-Mo was saying, the defense is moving. Then you can attack them. And he's just like, you know, and that's where Conley, not just on the court, but there was this clip that I quote tweeted from a chunk of days ago where they hit the bench during a timeout and Conley, not being a dick or anything like that, but just schooling Ant, and Ant just listening, taking it in. Like, he's been so – Ant's got, like, the nice guy Rubio, right, that, to start out. Then he got, like, the old cranky uncle, right, and Pat Bev. But this combination of I can still do it on the court, let me show you. And Mike, but also just the mentorship. Like, and Ant is always willing to, you know, soak it in. He always says when he was a kid, he had these crazy ass coaches, so he can be coached. And a lot of these young cats nowadays cannot be coached on that level. So credit to him for just taking it and being like, you know what, you're right, I'm gonna switch it. And he switches it in the game. And so there are times where I'm like, oh, dude, what are you doing, you know? But I know that, okay, let's say he has a bad game in the playoffs. I know he's just going to go watch film, and he's going to switch it. And within that series, he's going to adapt. He's going to go out and get 12 assists, you know, and he's going to figure it out. And so it's really nice knowing that. I think that's the final piece of just going through this, studying tape, and then, you know, that every single game counts mentality. That once again, you do see nowadays it's a little lesser. Not just him. I mean, shit, Wiggins was way worse with that stuff. Where it was literally there's like eight matchups that got him pumped up, and then the rest were like, yeah, I'm good. You know, whatever. That's not Ant. Ant will get pissed in the game and switch shit. So it's pretty awesome, man. No doubt about it. And we did see Cat shooting. right before the game in the little practice facility on the road for the Lakers game, and they did report he did go through a scrimmage. So there is a chance, there's a chance that he could play Sunday or something like that, Friday or Sunday. I don't know if that's the case, if that'll actually happen. But the fact that he's scrimmaging tells you he's going to be back. It's just a matter of when. And so now that we're here a month later, was it going to be 4-6 or was it going to be 6-8? Well, it definitely looks like 4-6. And it'd be a lot better to have him at the beginning of a series than later or not until the second round, because there are going to be those times. He's got to get his legs back. He's going to be on at least one or two games on a minutes restriction, and we're ready for that now. So it's all looking pretty up, man. You know, heading into the playoffs, which is exactly like you were saying earlier. You want to be right, your game rising, and now everybody. And that's one thing we talked about when, you know, Cat went out. It's like, hey, dude, these guys can get a lot of confidence in this, you know, And they have. And so if you can bring Cat back into this, you know, at least we have a little experience last year at Cat coming back in a season. A little bit different because he had a little bit more of a runway. But it's not going to be 8 weeks is the key.
Yeah, and you bring back a healthy Cat who's got his legs under him, you know, probably first round of the playoffs. What does that do for Nas? He's playing so confidently right now. What a piece that is to have, you know, just throw in there with Cat, with Ant, with, you know, McDaniels, or maybe even a different flavor. So let's say you get a matchup, you don't necessarily need McDaniels right off the top. You can go Nas right away. I mean, that's a lot of different things that can be done there, but it's interesting. I mean, I really want to see who that matchup is, but I'll wait for it. Obviously I have to, but I'm a little impatient. There's a few teams I want to avoid, but you know, even if you get them still, I think, you know, that's a test that you got to face. You're not always going to get the best draw playoff wise. And that's something we always used to talk about in the Garnett days. It's like, well, we're going to see San Antonio again or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Hey, you get who you get. You got to beat whoever you got to beat. Eventually you'll have to beat them anyway. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, going seven games, whatever. Who cares? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking right now, I really don't want to see New Orleans. But
right,
with what the Suns just did to us, yeah, it's like, okay, well, yeah. I don't want to see them either. But we'll see them again, Chris, this week coming up. We got the Wizards, the Nuggets, Hawks, and Suns. So I guess, you know, you got the Nuggets and the Suns. Nuggets game huge, right? I mean, the way things are, it's going to be.
You win that game, you got a great shot at first seed.
Yeah, and that's kind of lets you avoid some of that stupid stuff I said earlier about who you want to see and who you don't, depending on the play-in, which, like we said, is going to be nasty. There's a lot of great teams in there. But, you know, the Wizards, I think we win that one. Nuggets on the road this time of year.
Murray back.
You know, I'm looking for revenge against the Suns, make it 3-1, lose to the Nuggets. You still have tiebreaker on a few different levels. So we can see that's if things are the way they are today. Right. So Wizards, I say 3-1 here. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm feeling 2-2, but I want to say 3-1 because I just don't like what the Suns did to us. I want to get them back.
Yeah, that part, right? And we still owe Atlanta for game 3 because we had a big lead, gave it up, and got our ass kicked. And like I said, people were ready to jump the ship then, 1-2. On like a 7-game winning streak, but I agree. I'm kind of in the 2-2 or 3-1. I'm going to go 3-1 as well. The reason why I'm in the 2-2 is because I don't know by the time I think we'll lose to Denver, but by the time we get to Phoenix, we don't know where everyone will be, including them.
That's a great point.
So you just don't know what lineup, and they're going to be, you know, if they're in the play-in or something, well, then they're probably going to rest their guys because they got to play Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, why not get a couple extra days of rest? You know, so that's where I'm a little funky. I think we'll play better against them, like you said, because twice now they've beaten our ass. So I think there's going to be some pride there, and we can't get, you know, it won't be 17-2. Assuming, right, to start the game. So Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going 3-1, but yeah, that 2-2 might be 2-2, but it might not matter. If we lose to Denver, you know, none of this stuff might not matter. We'll see. We do have, you know, if we beat Denver, we probably got number one spot locked up. Knock on wood, because you know we have the division. It'd be 3-1, then we'd have that. But even if you lose to them, they'd have to lose, and they don't. Besides us, they don't play a challenging schedule. Not that Atlanta's in Washington's great, but Phoenix obviously is getting better and have the talent. So yeah, I mean, we'll see, man. It is nice to have the division and the conference record to beat. So all we have to do is tie Denver, more than likely that, or I guess you can't rule out OKC, who's got a tough game tonight and some tough games coming up. As we said, they had the tougher schedule down the stretch out of all three of us. So it'll really probably come down to that Denver game. And then just to close it out, the Gophers brought back Dawson Garcia. Over the last 2 years, he's been our best player. I really didn't know what, you know, it's a weak draft this year. I thought he would at least sample the waters like I think Christie's going to do and go to the workouts and all that. And kind of have a rapport with the scouts, and a lot of times you'll get the information back, and it's pretty good, but it's not great. So you're like, oh, I'll see you next year, and then you can prove to them, and usually that, and you know that you've gotten better at what they say you have to get better at. So we don't know 100% against with Cam Christie yet, but if you hear the NBA, the rules allow guys for quite some time now to go check it out and see where they're at. It doesn't mean 100%. I think Murphy a few chunky years ago did the same thing, came back. So you never know, but getting Dawson Garcia, I almost call him Dawson Creek. Dawson Garcia back, that was pretty cool, man, because I really didn't know if he was like, I'm going to go pro or fuck, I could go to a top five program for my last year. I don't know. So that was huge, man. I'm really happy to see him back.
Yeah, it's great to see him back, particularly because of the alternative. We've seen a lot of subtractions. I'm waiting for some additions here. I'm sure we'll get some. But, you know, the team's kind of, like I said, nice to have Dawson back. We have some good pieces. It's just, you know, I want to see a big that can replace our boy and then figure out what's going on, you know, guard depth and what's going on with Fox. You know, can he walk? Can he not walk? What's going on? Will he play? And, you know, we might get Christie back if he doesn't like what he hears from the pros, and that'll be huge, too, if that can happen. But right now, you know, with NIL and everything, man, it's a lot of just hurry up and wait, I guess, and see where these kids decide. I mean, our guy's not gone yet because he hasn't, as far as I know, I haven't seen anything where he signed with anybody yet. He's just in the portal.
Talking about Payne?
Yeah, I'm talking about Payne. Thanks, Greg. His name was slipping me at that. Pharrell Payne, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely going someplace, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to hold on.
15 offers.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But no, you're right. That is true. It is true. People have gone on the portal and came back.
I guess I'm just, it's not over till it's over type of thing, you know?
That's true.
But,
they did say it was reported multiple times that he was driving a BMW today.
Yeah, okay, so he's gone.
That pretty much locks it up.
Yeah, somebody's got him. Maybe it's an agent or something. I don't know.
Well, dude, one of the top NLI agents lives here. So fucking people coming to town left and right now, coaches in the off season, and they put down their bids and shit. So it's just like, sweet, yeah, welcome to the city. It's great. Yeah, it's a great place, man. Yeah, great. You bastards.
Yeah. I'm just waiting.
I think that guy should move, personally.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, get him out of here.
How do you feel about Milwaukee, man? Or do you like Oshkosh?
You want to go further Oshkosh? North? Canada? Where do you want to go? Toronto's nice.
Toronto's nice this time of year. Sure. No, but anyways, catch this show wherever you get your podcasts. You know that. And we need to finish strong, not only the show, but the Wolves season. I don't want to see us limping in anything. I like what you said about the Suns. They could just be, you know, packing in for the play-in, which changes a little bit. But let's be Denver, man. That would be freaking great if you could be Denver. You know, that's kind of a wrap to the season, puts you where you want to be. You avoid some things you don't want to see. And you get, obviously, home field, and they're right to say that you won 56, 57 games and are number one seed. I know that doesn't mean anything in the end, but sure feels good. We will talk to you next week.